Hey friends, you're listening to the Axiom Church podcast. We're a church community centered around experiencing Jesus, being together, and loving our city, which is Peoria, Arizona. But we hope that you'll check it out and that you'll engage us online. You can do that on our website or on any of our social medias, Axiom Church AZ. So enjoy this episode.
All right, may the peace of Christ be with you. It's good to see you guys. Welcome to Axiom Church. My name is Gavin, and I have the privilege of being one of your pastors here. And the gift of that is that you guys have trusted us to participate in the formation of your life with God and with each other. And that's not something we hold lightly, but it's something that we prayerfully hold together with you guys as a community, because it's not a one-man army around here. As you noticed last week, even Pastor Eric was up here teaching, and we decentralize because we're a body. We have many, many gifted people, not just from the pulpit, but from worship to our kids area, and through and through. So thanks for participating. Thanks for giving your time. That all of you here have done that now. And thank you for giving your worship also. So I want to pray for us and then get us into this second week here. Father, we stand before you in the acknowledgement that nothing is hidden from you. But we also stand with the acknowledgement that you are a good God. Grace abounds. And so we ask today that as we explore this conversation with you, that your Spirit would guide us in truth, and your Son Jesus would show us the way. Amen. In light of Jesus' arrival, Christmas, we are called to live honest to God. That is, before him, we are not just in the light, but stewards of the light. But as apprentices of Jesus, as students of his, as disciples of his, often it feels like a tug of war between this world and all of its ways and the world that is invading ours, the kingdom of God, right? Jesus prays, may on earth as it is in heaven. And there's this tension between these two spaces, between the truth and the half-truths. And during this series, we want to focus on what it means to hold that light and to not relent to the darkness. We learn to protest half-truths and live squarely and transparently in the kingdom of God in which Jesus has invited us to step into. And as just a loving reminder, that invitation not once was for later, but it has always been for now. Jesus modeled that. He lived it. He stood firmly in light of God's truth. One of the most terrifying and yet liberating realizations of my life has been that heaven will accept and provide nothing short of the whole truth. At some point in my journey, I recognized, what am I going to do when I get there? If heaven is a place of transparent light, fullness of light, there's no pretending of any kind, no shadows, what will I do when I find myself so naked? Except that now, because of the goodness of God, Jesus stepped into my current world and began to show me what it looks like to live in the light as if I am already in heaven. And so we have this opportunity to be honest to God now. My presupposition this morning is that if we believe the kingdom of God is a place of genuine honesty and truth, then can't we begin to be people who are honest to God now? Can we ourselves only be free in the kingdom as far as we are living in the truth? Anything outside of the genuine honesty is captivity to falsity. But I want the real. I want to experience the real. I know I've got options. I know I have other options, but it's not the ones that I want, because I know God's good. So as you think about honesty, I'm just curious, just, you know, like, roll with me here. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? It could be a silly saying or something. I don't know. What comes to mind when you think of honesty?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Okay. Did that come up for anybody else? Honest Abe? Just you, baby. Just you. Thank you. Practice in honesty. What else comes to mind?
Truth hurts.
Truth hurts. Ooh, zinger.
Transparency.
Transparency. Liar, liar.
Pants on fire.
Pants on fire. Sorry, I don't know why that just came to me. God's honest truth. An honest mistake. Earning an honest buck. What else? Honesty is the best policy. That's good. Perhaps as honest as the day is long. We could keep going, couldn't we? We've riddled our world with these expressions of honesty, as if we can't just live it, we have to like remind each other of it. I thought when I first started thinking about this topic of honesty, I was actually, what came to me was not an idiom, but it was a place in my past, a little dark spot in my journey. I was, I think, 9 or so. I was on vacation, and my grandpa, Grandpa Pepsi, okay, this is a guy who, like, rode buffaloes, fought in the Korean War, okay? He had a collection of knives from people that I'm pretty sure he had expired on showcase in his living room. Grandpa Pepsi was a terrifying and yet loving man, and he loved us grandkids deeply. And I had a great respect for him. And I remember at 9, he gave me my first pocket knife, Swiss Army knife. You know the little ones, the little gadgets on it? Did anybody else get that as a kid? Oh, yeah, you all got it. So me and my brother and my cousin Jake, we were all the same ages, all got a pocket knife. But he sat us down. He says, listen, I'm going to give this gift to you, and I'm going to let you hold it in your pocket because it's a pocket knife. After dinner, I'm going to teach you guys how to use it. We're going to spend some time together, Grandpa and you kids. So don't mess with it until after dinner. Can you guys promise me to do that? Of course, Grandpa. And I gave him my honest word. And then I excused myself to go to the restroom. And before I knew it, my brother was creeping into the restroom. She was going, what are you doing? And I had the pocket knife out in my hand already. And he's like, dude, you're not supposed to do that. You're going to get in trouble. I was like, no, I'm fine. I've got this. And then I proceeded to slash my hand straight across the palm, and the blood spilleth out of me. Now, thankfully, there's a toilet there in the bathroom, because all bathrooms have that, and there's toilet paper. And so all I can think to myself is, well, I can't tell Grandpa what's happened. That's not an option for me, because that would be a far worse pain than enduring the loss of life due to a deep wound in my hand. So I wrapped it in toilet paper and went back to the table where we were having dinner, and I held it behind my hand. And it didn't take more than a moment for my grandpa to stare at me kind of funny from across the table and say, Gavin, what's going on? I said, nothing. Just eating my green beans. I said, no, what do you have behind your back? I said, I don't have anything behind my back. Which is, I mean, my hand's behind my back, but nothing's behind me. He goes, is the pocket knife in your pocket? I said, yeah. I reached out, I showed it to him. Okay, he goes, show me your other hand. No, Grandpa, can we just eat? To which I brought out my other hand, and the toilet paper was no longer the color white, for starters. I was a bloody mess. Enough that there was some panic in the room, and they rushed to bandage me up, and my grandma threatened to take me to the hospital to get stitches, and it was pretty bad. That evening, when my grandpa went to tell us the lesson, he gave Lance and Jake the lesson, but he said, not you today. And I felt such a devastating blow, disappointing him. And later he came to me with tears in his eyes, and I've never seen my grandpa cry. And just said, Gavin, I love you. I gave you an instruction. I trusted you with this. And it hurt me, just as it's hurt you, that you haven't kept your word. Now, the truth is, lying has a devastatingly long tail if you let it. It really is something that we will just hold on to until we can't hold on to it anymore. And it took me a while to work through this with my grandpa, but the truth that the lie revealed was the harsh reality of my own character, that I had the capacity to resist the light, to hold back from the one who loves me. That was the truth. And it was crucial for me to see what I was capable of doing, of the trust I was capable of breaking, that I was capable of hurting my grandpa, who, I know I've said enough, but he once shot an arrow through his hand and walked away like nothing was wrong. I was capable of putting tears in his eyes. That was the truth. It's real. Me, an image bearer of God, as Eric talked about last week, capable of such a thing. So thank God that something has entered into our world that shows us what light looks like, that shows us what an alternative to the lie can be like. We have a living, breathing example in Jesus of what it means to live honestly. And I'm not just talking about living authentically, although that's there also, but honestly. As an image bearer of God, I get the privilege of seeing God in the flesh, in Jesus. And God's just good like that. He's always been good like that. Even in the Old Testament, we read about in the Old Testament, we see him coming and giving us the Ten Commandments. And that might seem like a strange place to point to, but God gives the people who have just been in slavery, okay? They've just lived in this falsity. And he says, here's what it looks like to live truthfully. This is what it looks like to flourish. And he reveals it to him. And then Jesus comes, and we read about this, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus says out of his own mouth, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, good news comes from a good God. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And freedom comes from a liberator. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus says that he has come to rescue us from our slavery, to give us eyes to see, that we don't have to put the veil over anymore. We can have ears to hear. We can see things as they are. We can live honest to God. because we have a good God who has come to show us as image bearers what it looks like to live in that place. And that's good news. We know it. We know God's goodness because we know Jesus. And when we come to understand that, we can begin to live honest, truth-seeking lives, because we can recognize that even my darkness, even those things have a place to go to. A loving, grace, truth-filled person, Jesus. And also knowing that our life is eternal, having that awareness means that we can begin to live that way now. Secrets and half-truths just die off in that space when we confess our sins, when we bring it into light, when we hold ourselves bravely in the sunrise. We live there. We breathe there. It is our way. The light. Life and way. In Jesus. The other thing is that, and think about this, the lies don't go with us when we die. All that goes with us is that which has been birthed in honesty. God is not working in our lie. He is working in the truth. The work that's happening in the lie is the devastation of relationships. It's the learning to hate yourself. Think about the work that is taking place in the lie. It wreaks havoc on our conscience, on our mind, on our physical body, on our neighbors, on our world. And Jesus just says, you don't have to live that way. John chapter 8, we read this little bit here. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings and my truth, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answer, and well, hold on. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, a child, an image bearer of God, belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The truth is honesty is at hand in Jesus. This is the beauty. We may now know it. And as we come to know more of the truth, we will find that it continues to breed freedom. Just as you continue to give in to a lie, it continues to breed slavery. So as we come to live honestly, we are set free from the chains that our lies bind us, to. I don't think you have to be a follower of Jesus to know that. That the lie is devastating. Have you ever found liberty in a lie? You might have got the illusion of it momentarily. But were you free because of it? And you can feel the burden of it instantly because now you have to manage something that isn't self-evident. You have to produce it, make it so. You got to prove it. You got to give in to the lie to keep it. But truth doesn't yield to our wants or our feelings. We can't distort reality and actually escape this one. Eventually, the truth catches up. It does. Luke 12, verse 2 through 3 says, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roof." It comes to light. That's the nature of truth. It's the nature of it. Well, we can run. We should never hide from the truth, and we should never hide the truth. It's a defeating game. I think today's biggest lie is we live through pretending. Pretending has become normative. I think the second biggest lies that we live is we give ourselves to existential places, things that aren't actually here, which is our way of hiding from what's real. If you examine yourself, it doesn't take long. What pretense and facades stand between you and experiencing genuine engagement with others? Have you ever been in that space where somebody thinks something about you that's not fully true, but it kind of sounds nice, kind of feels good? How many of you have allowed yourselves to be flattered even though the truth was perhaps that flattery wasn't deserved? I had the gift of a mentor once who I was keen on impressing. So I was pretending. I was real smart. I wanted him to think I knew everything he knew. I'd read all his stuff. And so there I was, day one or two, dropping little things here and there, trying to impress. And he stopped me and said, "No more. If we're to spend time together, you have to know me for who I really am. And I need to know you for who you really are." Shoot. I just wanted you to think I was cool. He says, "You are cool. You didn't have to do all that pretending to get that out of me." Some of us pretend to be happy when we're sad, to be accomplished when we're not, to have knowledge when we don't, to be fine when we're furious. We want to manage what others think of us. Few of us are living honest. Gary Black Jr. Says it this way: "We are so insistent upon the mirage that we drink the sand." A dangerous place to be. And for some of us, including myself at times, we can lose the ability to even know the difference. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce describes heaven. He says, he describes the grass of heaven because he's C.S. Lewis. He describes the grass of heaven as being so real and substantive that it wounds the feet of those who have not spent enough time walking nakedly as they were created to. Dang, C.S. Dallas Willard says it like this: "The fires of heaven may be hotter than the flames of hell." And he's suggesting that some of us have warmed up to the wrong flames. We've gotten used to something to the extent that the light would repulse us. disillusioned by our alternate realities. We no longer know how to live in the world that Jesus shows us how to live in, the world we were created for. So today, I just want to invite us to live honest to God by seeking the truth with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The difference is that we live not in hiding, but in seeking. That's the shift. Hiding is birthed in fear. Seeking is birthed in awareness of God's love. We have a good God. And as we seek the Spirit of truth makes known to us how to live. In John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. What a gift we have in God. I want to close with this reading from an unusual character for me, Patrick Henry. He was a lawyer and founding father of our country. He wrote to our first president, "Give me liberty or give me death." That was his famous speech. This is what he says, March 23rd of 1775. "Mr. President, it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against the painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern our temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it." Let us live in the light, even if we're afraid of what we might find there. You have a good and gracious God and a people that want to be with you. We're going to go into a time of communion, and perhaps you just need to step into the light. Our prayer team wants, we have ears to hear. We have words to speak over you. I just would encourage you to come and join us, to pray, to confess, to give glory to God, to acknowledge His goodness, to ask for help. Let us not live any longer in the dark. Let us step into the light. As you're ready, Jesus has provided a way through His table to come and be with Him and with others. So whether you want to go pray or come to the table, there's a communion station on each side here. You can grab a cup and juice. But I want to encourage you to find somebody or take it back to your seat with the person you came with and just thank God that He stepped into the world. He shows us how to deal with the truth, how to live in it, how to be that kind of person. He gives His life for it. So we acknowledge that Christ gave it all so that we might live now, not just later. As you're ready, stations are here. We'll be in the back also.